you may notice the topic, and you may be saying, what is he thinking? This is for kids, not for kids, not just for kids. This is a topic that is of great importance to the oldest person in this room that is accountable to God. When we start thinking about our behavior, Proverbs wasn't written to kids. It was written to share the wisdom of God with people just like you and me. People who have children, grandchildren. All of those would be thought about as we take a look at what God is trying to do for us. There's not a person in this room who is not affected by peer pressure. Sometimes it may be a husband who says, you know, I'm just too tired to go to worship today. Or a wife who says, this is not really an important thing for our child to be involved in. It costs a little money, and we're just not going to get that done now. When we start pulling each other in different directions for one reason or another, that's peer pressure. Our culture is giving in. This group of people sitting in front of me is giving in quite often to the peer pressure of our children and our grandchildren. We sometimes are asked questions that we don't really feel good about. We don't have a great answer. And we keep hearing this constant question of why. Why can't I do that? Why can't I go there? Why can't I have money for that? And we are constantly having to give answers that we don't like, we think. So when one of our children would say to Jan, can I do this or can I do that? What was one of the most often given responses by Jan? Loretta has it. I could read her lips. She said, go ask your dad. Shame on you, Jan. But you know what? When they would come ask me, what was my most often or a very often given response? Go ask your mom. Shame on Roy. Because you see, we put pressure on each other. We put peer pressure on each other. You see, I'm saying to Jan, I don't want to make a choice. You make one for me. She might be saying to me, I don't want to make a choice. You make one for me. And there are all kinds of pressures that all of us have. So, what do we do? Well, I may have shared this with you before, but it's worth sharing again because it's true of us. Not just these kids that are off on a trip, but this is true of us. Dr. Ruth Berinda and other psychologists wanted to demonstrate or at least check out the power of a group. 10 individuals were placed in a group and given the instruction to raise their hand when the leader pointed to the longest of 3 lines placed on the screen. This was repeated several times. We'd have this group of 10. The instruction was given, raise your hand when I point to the line that I'm asking you to do. Simple assignment for us, right? Simple assignment to anybody, whether young or old. Now, here were the 3 lines. You see, if I said, raise your hand if you can tell me which one of those is the shortest, I think everybody that sees that could do that. We have some little ones in this room that could do that. So, such a simple assignment, 10 people asked the same question, and here's the result. There was one major obstacle that was placed before just one person in the group. 9 of them were told ahead of time to raise their hand when the second longest line was pointed to. What are we supposed to do? Raise our hands when we point to the longest line. But they were told to lie. To raise their hand when they point to the second longest line. 75% of people like you whatever your age group is, whatever your work is, whatever you are thinking, 75% of the people in those groups did exactly what the other nine did. Peer pressure is powerful to you this morning. It's not just about the kids. So, this is a very simple passage. I was talking to somebody this week about a concept that the Bible teaches, and he said, that is so complicated for me. I don't have it figured out. This guy's in his 50s. He's an elder in the church. He said, I don't have this figured out. He said, it is complicated. My response was, you know, if I understand what the Bible is teaching about this concept, the Bible teaching is pretty simple. Our problem is with the application of the principle. We do not want to make the application of the principle sometimes that seems relatively simple because we want mom to do it or dad to make the application or people. What we really want is for people to figure it out for themselves. Don't ever put themselves in that position. So when we start thinking about the power of peer pressure, the wise man gives us some things to think about. How do you do it? How do I do it? When we start thinking about the pressure that's placed on us every day from within our family, from without our family, from within the church, without the church, how do we deal with peer pressure? First of all, if you look at verse 17, do not admire sinners. There may be people this morning having a great time out there somewhere, not sitting in a dull, boring Bible class that you got out of a little while ago, and now you come in here and the song leader may have led songs you didn't like and he didn't sing them exactly the way you want them sung, and there may be some real struggles in your mind about being right here, but boy, you've got a friend that's out there having a ball. They may be casting at it, Rod. They may be in bed sleeping. They may be at Waffle House or somewhere having a fantastic breakfast, laughing and talking. You see, people that intentionally avoid worship when they know they should are making a mistake. God said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another insomuch the more as you see that day approaching. So we don't want to admire what people are doing that is wrong. Whatever that is, we need to be thinking about doing what is right, regardless of how it feels, regardless of what time it is. We need to do right. Psalm 37:1 says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of workers of iniquity. Proverbs 24:19 says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked. God is telling us, hang in there. Do what is good. Do what is right. And be happy about that. A second thing this passage tells us in verse 17 is examine your thoughts constantly. We need very much to critically examine. That doesn't mean to criticize, but it means to think reasonably about what we're thinking, about how we're thinking it, about what it is we're thinking. We need to be critical in our thoughts about our own thinking. We need to think in the right way. Whatever things are good and right and just and honest, those things that Philippians 4 verse 8 talks about, think on these things. Constantly examine your thoughts. Proverbs 28:14 says, happy is the man who is always reverent in speech, in behavior, in thought. But he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. So if today you want to get better handling the pressure that comes your way, whatever that pressure is, examine your thoughts consistently. Boy, this is a hard one. Because you see, you make me so mad sometimes I can't stand myself. Is that fair? That's not fair at all. Because you don't make me mad. I choose anger. We have some people that want to let you be responsible for their behavior. You see, it's okay if I kick all these lids off of here because I'm frustrated with you because you make me angry. No, it's not. I might kick those lids because I choose anger, and I might choose that way of expressing my anger, but it's not about what you are and have as a responsibility with regard to my anger. It's about my choice. It's about me. It's about my thinking. And I need to examine my thoughts about that because, you see, God is helping us see that we need to accept the responsibility. Guard your heart. Guide your heart. It's about you. It's about me. It's not about what people out there in the world are doing. This thing bad happened to me, so I feel right in working and thinking and acting in this way. You take responsibility for guarding your heart, guiding your heart. Proverbs 4 and verse 23 says, keep your heart. The King James Version, I think, says, guard your heart. It's like a military guard standing there ready to take care of and defend and protect the heart that you possess. Keep your heart, guard your heart with all diligence. Don't ever stop and let your heart get away from you and wander into places and things and thoughts, behaviors that you have no business going to. You take responsibility. Why? Because for out of it springs the issues of life. You remember Jesus talking to his disciples, and he said, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man. You see, that stuff can be passed out. But it's what comes out from the heart that defiles a man. That's where adultery comes from, Jesus said. That's where murders come from. That's where envy comes from. That's where anger comes from. It comes from inside in your heart. So if you want to take care of peer pressure in a better way so that you don't let other people into your heart, so you come out saying, it's not my fault, it's your fault. You guard your heart and you protect it because that's where the real issues of life are going to come from. And then choose the right company. Verse 20, don't be caught with wine bibbers and people who are gluttonous. You think about who you are with. We control that. Almost always. I've talked with some of you about people with whom you work. And we work with some pretty tough people, don't we? I work with Billy Smith. We have to be thoughtful. We have to be careful that we don't let the company that we choose get us going in the wrong direction. What a great blessing to work around a group of people like I do. I don't have to worry about hearing ugly language. I don't have to worry about people coming in and stomping and saying angry, ugly things. I don't have to worry about them inviting me to do something that's ungodly. I am so blessed. All of us, though, have circumstances over which we have direct control. See, I didn't choose everybody that I work with. I did choose to work there, in that sense chose them, but I didn't hire them. Somebody else does that. But thanks be to God that somebody is thinking about the people that I work with. We need to be thoughtful about the company that we keep. Paul said, do not be deceived. You see, sometimes we think we can be around people who do bad things, who say bad things, and act in ugly ways, and we can walk away unscathed. When we are consistent in choosing that kind of behavior, we will not walk away unscathed. So, evil company corrupts good habits. You're going to be around people like that, you're going to begin to do things that are not good. Isaiah 5:22 says, woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink. 1 Corinthians 5:6 says, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? You want to get better at handling peer pressure? In every case that you can, think seriously about who you choose to be with. And then remember the rewards of people who choose sin. And there are so many people that choose sin. When you begin to think in the direction that God gives us to think about, we have to look at people and honestly evaluate who it is we're with, what it is they do, what it is they think about, what it is they talk about, and we have to decide, do we want that kind of peer pressure? Paul says this, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Those words are used several times in God's message to us. Do not think you can do what you want, be with who you want, think what you want, and be okay. Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, revilers, extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. There's no place in God's kingdom for people who practice that kind of lifestyle. And so if you want to fight peer pressure, there are some people that you cannot avoid being around. You just can't. You can't help being in the world. But you can help as you think about the things that this simple passage in Proverbs teaches us to think about. What we need, what God desires, is to create some positive peer pressure. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, you be imitators of me, even as I am also of Christ Jesus. That's the kind of peer pressure that I need from you. I need to see Christ living in you so that I can, by the pressure that you place on me, be drawn closer to God, be in a greater position to be influenced toward good and brought into a closer relationship with God. This morning, as we close this part of our worship, we want you to think about your soul. We want you to think about the pressure that you put on other people. Is the pressure you put on other people by your lifestyle good? Or is it you that is corrupting the good morals of people round about you? We need to be thinking. We need to be moving. We need to be acting in a positive direction. The Lord has given us His message. Seems very clear. The preaching in the first century was about the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And on those occasions that preaching was done, there were people who wanted to emulate that by being baptized into Christ, to die to sin, to be buried with Him in water, and to be raised to walk in newness of life. That is positive peer pressure, if you are willing to do that and you haven't. If you're a child of God and your pressure has been negative toward other people, you've let other people's negative pressure bring you into a relationship with the world instead of being related properly to God, well, God is so hopeful today that you would respond and pray to Him that you could be forgiven and that you could begin to bless people with a great life in service to God. That's our hope, and that's our prayer. That's our invitation to accept God's message. If you need to come, please do. Let's stand and let's sing.